Clear the path you've chosen. Hold your head up high. And the luck I hope you'll find to pass the time. Here we are, a lovely sight. Out among the stars at night, the locust sings a simple tune. Carried on the winds of June to the world.
All right, hello everybody. This is Keep It Close to Me. Is that what I say? I don't know if that's what I say. Is that what I say? Hello everyone. What do I say? I say something like that, right? Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, who sadly you have not heard from in a while. And it's, I don't know if it's sad to you, but it's sad to me. Because I like getting to talk to you guys, and I feel bad when I don't get the episodes out in as timely a manner as I would like. But that's just how it goes sometimes. We've always said, when I say we, I guess I'm including back when Eugene and I would talk about things on the Gravity Falls Gosper. And, you know, I think all of the podcasting I've done has basically been kind of about something and then life and stuff. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of life and stuff happening, both just in the world in general for all of us, but then for me and my family personally. And so today's episode is kind of talking about the life and stuff just in general. And we've had some bummer things happen here, and I don't want the whole show to be a bummer, and hopefully it won't be. But there's definitely been some life and stuff, and I haven't been able, I don't even know if I haven't been able is the right word, but it's like I haven't felt right about just putting a new episode out of something when I've got all this other stuff sort of like sitting on me, and I want to talk about it. And, you know, I think part of what people appreciated about the old show, and I think that it's still what people appreciate about this show, maybe one of the things, maybe it's a small percentage, I don't know, you guys, you can make up your own minds about what you like about the show, but is something that I think people, I hope people liked, is the life and stuff, and like, that's the good and the bad, and the bad stuff has sucked, you know. I think we've all had bad stuff happen, but it's just been really hard to go, like, I don't want to not talk about this stuff, but I didn't want to not put episodes out, but I didn't want to, like, put just a normal episode out, you know, because I have some episodes that I've already recorded, you know, that are long overdue to be presented to you, and I just haven't gotten to editing them yet. But also, it's like I didn't want to put them out if I hadn't already talked about all the life and stuff that's been happening. But at the same time, as much as I wanted to talk about those things, I also kind of didn't want to talk about them because they are sad, you know, and they're kind of a bummer. And yeah, it's tough to, hopefully I won't like get too crazy, super emotional talking about some of this stuff. Because boy, that'd be weird, especially since there's nobody else here with me today. And when I say today, I of course mean now that it is late at night, when the house is quieted down and there's not a lot of things to distract me or other things to work on. I guess there's always other things I could be working on, but it seems to be easiest to record by myself when it is very late at night. Yeah, I don't know. It's and guys, also, hey, as I always say on these ones where it's just me talking to myself, if I'm rambly or if I kind of lose track, that's just how it is. And hopefully you'll bear with me and just enjoy it and think it's charming, quirky fun, as opposed to being really irritating and getting frustrated by the threads I leave dangling, possibly. So yeah, I wanted to talk about it, but it's also, you go, am I really, as much as I want to talk about some particular thing or things, you go, do I really want to dredge all these feelings back up to talk about them? And even when you want to, just to kind of get them out and to, and for some of what I want to do is kind of just to get a record of it for whatever reason. Even when you want to do it, you just kind of go like, it's, I don't know any better way to say it other than to say that it's, you know, it's hard to pull some of that stuff up sometimes and force yourself to talk about it. And it's easier to just go, hey, you know what? I'm gonna not talk about those things because they bum me out. But I don't want to bum you guys out too much. But I will say there's going to be some death talk today because back over the holidays and immediately after the holidays, there was a number of deaths in our little family, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but April and I both lost several family members before the holiday, or right, you know, before the new year. And then the thing that's actually been the thing that I wanted to talk about the most, because I think it's the person you were the most, I said person, the supporting cast member here on Keep It Close to Me, that you were most, the one who was the, you probably heard the most about on the show. And that's our cat Roxy, who you heard in the background of several episodes and on several, in several of the outtakes we would put in, that I would put in after the end credits song. Man, I'm a mess tonight, guys. But that's okay. I'm going to give myself permission to be kind of off my game a little bit on this one. But on the podcast after this one, we're going to be back to the high quality content I expect of myself and that you expect of me. But on this one, just give me a break if I'm a little rambly and it comes out weird. Because it's a weird, vulnerable thing to just go, this is the bummer stuff that's been happening, and I'm going to talk to you about it, and there's no one else here, but I'm talking out loud about it and hoping that it's somehow entertaining or helpful to you, or maybe it'll just be helpful to me to get it all out. But our cat Roxy died, and I'd never had a pet before Roxy. April and I had Roxy for many years before we got Dipper. And I don't care for cats in general. I mean, I don't dislike them, and I think they can certainly be cute in pictures and things like that. I think they can be very, very cute in pictures, and I can like them in person sometimes, but I'm not really a cat person. I'm more of a dog person, even though I used to be scared of dogs, but Dipper cured me of that. But, you know, it's funny. I said earlier about how waiting until late at night was usually the time that I could try to record things here in the house once it had quieted down. But that's actually kind of not true, because late at night is when Roxy was most active. And she was an old cat. She had gotten old. But she was still very active at night. That was like her main running around time. And who knows if I said this on the podcast, but if you've ever been over to our house or you'd ever met Roxy, you would know that she was a super active kicker in the old litter box. And the litter box used to be right by where I would record things, which I know seems like a terrible setup. But, you know, she was using the litter box much more often than I was recording. So, and it was the best place in the house for it. So that's just where it was. But many was the time when I was recording here, recording with someone or by myself, and Roxy's kicking in that litter box would just bring everything to a halt. And she would, not only was she like a really active kicker, but she was, and if you don't know what I mean by active kicker, I mean, she really enjoyed, if you've never had a cat, or just or known anyone that had a cat or whatever, I don't know. I didn't know much about litter boxes and cats until Roxy was living with us. But an active kicker means when cats go in their litter boxes after they use it, which they use it to go to the bathroom if you're like really new to the planet and are not familiar with how that works. After they go to the bathroom, they will like kick the sand, what gravel, whatever litter is, you know, they'll kick it to like cover it up or something. But Roxy just seemed to delight in kicking so fervently, passionately. She loved it. And she'd do it for a long time too. And it was actually that quirk that made April pick her out from all the little kittens that were up to newborn kittens that were ripe to be snatched up by people looking to give kittens a home. And that one, April saw the little kitty that was the really passionate kicker and said, "That one's feisty. I want that one." So that's why we had her. That's why she got picked. And it was the thing that absolutely aggravated me the most about her, because pretty much everything else about her was perfect and sweet and wonderful. And I loved her so, so much. And more than I ever expected I would care about, you know, some little animal that was stuck in the house with us. And several times a day, I would have to sweep up her litter from all her kicking. And it would constantly frustrate me when I was like trying to work or watch something and she'd start doing that and it would be so loud, or it would completely interrupt what I was trying to record, or just kind of mess with my concentration or whatever. And I was mad about how there would be litter all over the place from her kicking and from her just getting it everywhere and then running around and kind of knocking it around everywhere and messing me up and frustrating me and just irritating me with it. And now that I don't have to do it anymore, and now that I knew when I came over here to try to record this, it would be the first time I tried to record knowing that she was not going to interrupt me, that was not going to happen. I really miss it. And as much as I hated it, I would love to have her back, and would be more than happy to keep cleaning it up. So there's these weird things like, we'd have to get her a new litter box because we threw the old one away, after several days after she died. But there are other things of hers that I have not been able to bring myself to get rid of. And not things like her toys or her little bed, which is still sitting right where it was, which is right next to me in the chair next to this one. And I keep expecting to see her curled up in it when I walk by it. But there's things like the half a can of cat food that the half a can of cat food that we couldn't get her to eat because she was feeling so bad. It's still just in the fridge with the little lid on it. And it's been weeks now, and I have not been, you know, crying about it every day anymore, but I can't bring myself to get rid of it. And every time I see it, I think she's never going to finish that food. And that sucks, and that's a bummer to think about. But she was a real, real, real good kitty. And she was super sweet and affectionate in ways lots of cats aren't. And she was always nice to nice to anyone that would come over, anytime somebody would show up. She was always happy to see somebody new and to make a new friend and force them to pet her. And so often, the second that I would lay down on the couch, I would see her come darting from her little bed to come lay down next to me. She's kind of like the exact opposite of Dipper, who hates being petted and loved on and all the kind of sweet, loving kind of stuff you want to give to an adorable pet. Dipper hates it all. Roxy would just let you pet her and love on her until your hands fell off if you wanted to. And unlike Dipper, who will never, hardly ever sit down or just be sweet for a little bit, Roxy would just come and cuddle right up to you. If not outright, climb on your chest and get as close to your face with her face as she possibly could and then go to sleep. And that was great. And I really miss that. I don't know. It's not like I have anything prepared about Roxy specifically. I mean, I actually do have a page full of notes in front of me of things I wanted to talk about. And Roxy's the biggest thing on the list because, I don't know, she was real special. And a lot of you said nice things to me and April, and some of you did nice things for us. I really appreciate that. But I didn't write a eulogy or anything. So it's not like I'm prepared with what to say, but I just wanted to talk about how great she was and how much we loved her and how much we miss her for a little bit. And the thing was, we did not even know anything was wrong with her. It was like on Thursday, you know, like Thursday morning, she seemed fine. And then like Sunday morning, she died right in front of me. And it was absolutely horrible. It was just, part of me kind of wanted to like talk about it, you know, in detail, to just, and in the first couple days when I wanted to talk about it, but I was still just like a sobbing mess, I really felt like it would help to talk about it in great detail, like exactly what all happened in those, you know, last couple days, but I don't think it's that important now. I don't think it's the point. It seemed much more important when it was like really raw to me, but I don't think that's the point now. But it was horrible to see her die in front of me and the way she did. But it was like we might not have even known for sure like what was wrong if Jess, who you have heard on the show many times before, She came over to play video games with us, and Jess has fed Roxy for us when we've been out of town many times before, and just hung out and been sweet to her. And Jess and Roxy were certainly pals, even if Roxy was very bossy when demanding Jess feed her. But, you know, that was Thursday night, and Thursday during the day, and in the days previous to that, it hadn't really seemed like I had not noticed anything odd with Roxy's behavior. But then she seemed to be acting a little weird that night, and she had done some things that were a little out of character, but they did not seem like her demeanor, her character, you know, like the way that she was acting and interacting with us still seemed normal. So we just thought she was being kind of weird or something. And when I say things that seemed out of character, I mean, she was peeing in places besides her litter box, which just seemed super bizarre. But we thought it was just like some kind of weird cat behavior, something, who knows, you know, but, Jess was the one who was like, that seems like real weird behavior, and you should probably take her to the vet and make sure there's nothing wrong with her. And then we were like, okay, yeah, we should take her to the vet tomorrow, you know, in the morning or something. And then over the course of that night, I paid more attention to her than, you know, even more than I normally would have because of what Jess had said. And it really seemed like she was acting strangely then and seemed like she didn't feel great. And so then I ended up just staying up with her all night and just kind of watching her and being upset at myself for not possibly thinking that there was something wrong sooner and just petting her. And she liked to lay next to me or lay on me. She would like to do things where, and she would put her paws on either side of my hand, like she was trying to grab a hold of my hand or, you know, whatever she could get a hold of, my arm or something. But even now I realize as I'm telling this story, there's a part of me in the back of my mind that is thinking, I hope that I'm not talking too loud and bothering her because she is asleep in her little bed right there, even though she is certainly not. But I stayed up with her that night, all night, and just pet her and let her hold my hand, as it were, and just basically spent the night watching her and being worried and crying and telling her that she was going to be okay and that I was going to take care of her. And so then that next morning, took her to the vet, and April and I took her, and you know, she did not like going to the vet, and she was stressed out, and the vets checked some things, and they were like, well, we think this is okay, but we don't know about this. We're going to have to do some blood work, and we're going to have to send some tests off, and this, that, and the other thing, and they said they think that she, they thought that she, the big problem they were noticing as far as what they thought was wrong with her behavior was that they felt like there was some kind of, she was having some kind of breathing problem. Like she might have some kind of, you know, chest cold kind of thing or something. Something like that, you know. That was what the big problem was. And they gave us some different medicines to take home and to give her. And the way they talked about it really did make me feel like, okay, she is kind of sick right now, but this medicine is going to help her feel better. It's going to get her better. And then these other problems that she has that are kind of underlying, that they were like, well, we're kind of have to wait for the tests about this or that to come back. You know, we'll deal with that stuff. As soon as she gets rid of this thing that's kind of making it hard, giving her a hard time breathing, she'll be kind of back to normal, and then we can take care of these other problems with, you know, medicine or whatever we have to do. And that was like a huge relief. So then it's like, came home Friday with her, and she seemed a little weird, you know, like we had to give her some medicine for stuff, and like she was acting weird Friday and Saturday, and you know, I was thinking that it's like, oh, this is, it's just like, she's kind of loopy on this medicine. Cause one of the medicines they gave her was like a, you know, like some kind of heavy duty painkiller kind of thing. And she wasn't really eating, but we thought that it was just because she was feeling bad and the, and from the medicine and everything. And she was, anyway, we had a hard time giving her her medicine because she did not want to take it. But, you know, we still tried our best and gave it to her. But then late Saturday night, we hadn't given her her medicine, and they were just, she was really giving us a hard time. And but we knew she needed to take it. And the vet that we had gone to, it was a vet really close to our house, but it's it wasn't where we had gone before, but where we had gone before was closed, I think, the day that we, I think that we had had some bad weather, like there was ice or something, I think was what it was. And so the vet that we normally went to was closed that day because I guess the people couldn't get in. So we took her to this new place, and which is called, if you're in Memphis, I don't know, it's called Midtown Animal Clinic, Midtown Animal Hospital, something like that. It's on Central. They've also got like a pet boarding thing. Look, I'll put the link to the place in the show notes. They could not have been any nicer and more helpful and comforting and just wonderful to us and to her. And but we took her there, and they also have like an emergency operation, you know, like an emergency vet thing that's open 24/7 as sort of part of their practice. And at like around 10 or 11 at night, we were just so kind of frustrated with the fact that we were having such a hard time giving her her medicine. I called up there and was just like, we're having a really hard time giving her her medicine. Is there anything you could recommend or whatever, you know, like just, and whatever. And they were like, if you want to just bring her up here, since we live so close by, they're like, if you want to just bring her up here, we can try to help you with it. That's fine. And we went up there, and, you know, it's like in the middle of the night, and two of the, vet nurses, I don't know what you call them, two ladies in scrubs just hung out with us for like an hour, you know, in the middle of the night, and tried to help us give her her medicine. And well, I mean, didn't help us, they just did it. But were so nice to her and so sweet to her, and just treated her like their own pet. Just hung out with us in the lobby with her, and they made her some food to try to see if they could get her to eat, and just hung out and held her and petted her and tried to make her feel good about what was going on, and tried to make us feel good about what was going on. And you know, and then just, I mean, oh, and of course, here's this is a late night thing. Normally the kind of place when if there was like an emergency vet or something like that, if you showed up in the middle of the night, they're going to charge you like three times as much as what you would get charged for the same thing during the day. And these two ladies, they did not charge us a dime. They just helped us out with her out of the goodness of their hearts, I guess. And I got her back home, and April went to bed, and I stayed up with Roxy and just tried to be by her wherever she would go. She started being weird about not laying down in her bed. She was laying down in weird places that she didn't normally lay down in. And I didn't want to just grab her and move her. I was like, if that's where she wants to lay, then maybe that's just where it feels good for whatever reason. Or maybe she's just feeling weird because of the medicine. But I just spent most of the night kind of following her around and lying down next to wherever she laid down, and petting her and just trying to make her feel loved and comfortable. And I really thought she was going to be better. And the thing that they had told us to watch out for was if it looked like she was having trouble breathing at any point. That was something to be worried about. Like the stuff with her kind of moving around weird or seeming whatever, you know, kind of unusual. They were like, that could all just kind of be from the medicine or whatever they said. But they said that where if it looked like she was having a hard time breathing again, that was when to be worried. And then the sun was maybe just starting to come up. It was just kind of starting to get light out, and it really seemed like she was starting to have trouble breathing again. And I went and woke April up and said, I think we need to take her in there again because it looks like she's having trouble breathing, and that's what they said to watch out for. And if you don't know me that well, I am, even in situations not like this, I'm kind of a person who worries about things. And sometimes it's really for no good reason and way too much, way more than is necessary. So I think April maybe felt like I was overreacting a little bit. And as upset as April was, I have to give it to her. She was amazing during all of it at being strong and not freaking out when it started really rattling me. And I hope that I did a good job of doing the same when she would get really upset and kind of switching gears and just trying to get through a thing. But so it was Sunday morning, and really seemed like she was having trouble breathing. And April got up though, and we came in the living room, and we were kind of trying to pet her and see what she was gonna do. And she was just having a hard time. She was walking, wobbling around, trying to walk around and, you know, kind of bumping into stuff and falling down. And one of the last things she did was walk over to me and climb up into my lap. And she had... because they thought she had some kind of like urinary tract infection, which was part of what was wrong with her. She had been, that was, I guess, why she had been peeing in weird places. But over those last couple days, she had, was doing that even more oddly, or, you know, peeing in place. Anyway, she climbed up in my lap and laid there for a while and just let me pet her and held on to me, you know, held on to my hand. And of course she peed on my leg at, you know, right, which I didn't know until she was getting up. She decided to get up from my leg to go lay down somewhere else. And I know that sounds bad and gross, but I'm really glad that she did, for whatever reason. I don't know. It, for some reason I was like, if she's got to pee somewhere weird right before she dies, I was glad it was on me. which, yeah, I know that sounds awful, but, and then she kind of walked over to a place on the carpet, and on the rug in front of the couch, and started seem like she was having a really hard time. And she started seeming for the first time like she was really in pain and was scared and acting really odd. And, which, and I said, I didn't think I was going to talk. I could talk about it in much more vivid detail. But I called the vet really quick, and April was trying to, we're both kind of trying to see if there was anything we could do to make her feel better. And I ran to get her little travel crate and some towels to put in there to keep her warm, to try to take her to the vet. And I was trying to call the vet and ask them what they thought we should do. And right in the middle of that, while I was on the phone with the lady, and I was already crying, she had like a big kind of moan and weird, you know, spasm kind of thing. That's what it, I would say it seemed like was happening. She was having these weird sort of like a fit. And then it was, she was, there was nothing that could have been done at that point, or maybe at all, you know, no matter what. And I just started absolutely, you know, breaking down. And April, and we had to get her into her crate, and we still, April already knew, but I needed to, the vet was so close, and I had just been on the phone with them, and they knew her, and we got there, and it was the same people that had been there that night, when we'd been there at night, and we brought her in, and, you know, she was already gone, but they were really kind to us, and they had been so kind to her, and they made us, they came back to tell us that she was gone, but they had made a little, I don't know, clay or ceramic something. They had made a little impression of her paws in it and written her name in it. For us to take home. And that really meant a lot. I'm very grateful that we have it. It sucked. We spent, you know, the next bunch of days basically just taking turns doing a lot of crying. If you're still listening to this, I'd like to take a moment to, I hope this has not been too awful to listen to. I want to apologize, though, to a friend I used to have a long, long time ago, whose name was Megan. And when I was friends with her, at one point, she had a cat that died. And having never had a pet before, I got the idea that it's like, yeah, it's sad, but, you know, it's just a pet. It's not. And in an effort to be comforting, I thought, I said something along the lines of, you know, like, yeah, it's sad, but at least it, you know, at least it wasn't a person. You know, look on the bright side. At least it wasn't like a person member of your family. And I had absolutely no idea how dumb a thing to say that was. And it stuck with me for whatever reason, you know, like vividly in my mind, I remember saying that because of course, you know, it did not have the comforting effect that I had hoped for. But you know, I didn't know. And there's no chance that Megan is listening to this, but Megan, if you are listening to this, I'm really sorry I said that. I'm sorry I didn't understand what an important, meaningful place pets end up having in our hearts. And just, I'm really sorry I said that. And I hope that somewhere out there, somehow this feeling of apology will get to her and she'll forgive me. Because I definitely understand what that feels like now. And I'm sure that some of you listening to this have been through that kind of thing. And I'm really sorry to you as well that if you've had to go through that. I don't know, guys. She was a real, real good kitty. And I wish you all could have met her more than you did, just hearing her in the background of episodes of the show. But she was real good. And I loved her a lot, and I miss her a lot. So, all of that to say, that's some of the life and stuff that's been going on. And because of it, I have been behind on things. So if you're one of the Patreon listeners, supporters, backers, patrons, I have not gotten you your stuff yet. which, of course, I know that I haven't. But so don't think I've forgotten. I just haven't gotten to it yet because it's been hard to want to... I explained it all at the beginning. It's been hard to want to get this stuff out, but I didn't feel like I could move forward until I did with the other stuff. So we'll be back to fun after this. And I've got lots of fun stuff to talk about, but I'm really sorry that I haven't gotten your stuff to you sooner. I am working on it, and all the stuff so far is turning out pretty cool. So you probably, instead of getting like several like small things, everybody's going to get like a big package, and then things will be back on schedule. You know, everybody will get a bunch of things, you know, worth of stuff at once, and then things will be back on schedule. It honestly does, now that I've kind of talked about it all, it does kind of feel good to, it feels a little bit like, okay, you got past it. You did it. You got it out. So that's good. It's like a slight relief. I guess I should have talked about it back at the beginning, but at the beginning of the episode, you may have noticed that I let play for quite a while a song you maybe haven't heard before, or maybe you're super duper cool and you have heard it before and you're like really in the know because you have heard it before. But it's a song by Strange Wave Connection called Parade of Seasons. And if you don't know Strange Wave Connection, they are the band that my friend Corey, who you have heard me talk about many times on this show and on the old show, it's the band that he is in. And Danny from Corey and Danny, back on the Gospel, when we used to say that a commercial was by Corey and Danny because they made those several really cool commercials for us because the old show had sponsors. but this is a song he wrote, and it's amazing. It's incredible. And it just felt really right. And that's why I let it play for a while, because it's great. And Corey's a great dude, and he is super talented. I feel like he is talented at everything he tries to do. He's a great guitar player. He's a great singer. He's great at drawing. He's great at painting little toys to look so much cooler than they have any business looking. Take some tiny toy and just give it an amazing paint job that suddenly makes it look like, you know, it's worth, you know, tens of times what you would pay for it, if not hundreds of times. He's good at basketball. He's just a good, talented dude. He's a good writer. He's funny. What else could I tell you about Corey? I don't know. I've known the guy since I was 5 years old. Short of family, he is the person I have known the longest in the world, and I still talk to him. And that's pretty amazing. And he is a great dude. And this song is great. And here's a little behind the scenes secret that you guys won't be able to hear, hopefully. But I've had this song by him playing on a loop in my headphones the entire episode, because when I tried to record the show in silence like I normally do, I found that I was having a very hard time. And all I could think about was this song, because I knew that I wanted to use it in the opening. And when I had it playing in my headphones, trying to get it set up to use at the beginning of the show, I just found that it kind of made me feel a little better to just keep listening to it. And so I set it up so I could listen to it on a loop the entire episode, because for some reason that made it easier. And hopefully you guys haven't heard it bleeding through the whole time. But if you have, you know what? Maybe that makes it even better, because then you've got like a really subtle soundtrack to the entire episode. But Corey's great. There's always a link to his band's website in the show notes. You should really check them out, especially if you hear the song and they're like, wow, that was great. I think they're kind of on a break right now, but you should check them out. They're really good. Follow Corey on Instagram. I'll put his Instagram on there. He posts some of the stuff he does, just drawings and little figures and models and stuff he paints. Guy's super talented. He made me a Halloween costume in like a day once from the game Costume Quest, which I don't know if you ever played it, but it's an awesome game, basically about like it's like the kind of adventure you would dream about having as a kid on Halloween. And there was a I loved the game and I loved all the designs on it, and he and I were talking and I needed like a costume for a Halloween party, and I didn't have one, and I was like going, oh, I'd really like to be this, but I don't know how I'd make it. And dude just up and made this amazing costume for me in like a day, and was like, sent me a picture, was like, hey man, I made you a costume for this thing, and it's just incredible, this like robot costume, just absolutely amazing. What isn't he good at? So super talented. I'm trying to think of some more of the cool things that he'll just randomly like send me pictures of and be like, look at this thing I made. And then it's something I'm like, how did you do that? Oh, he did something with like some like super soaker. He took like a water gun Han Solo pistol and made it, that was like super cheap kind of thing, and made it look so real and amazing. And he's like, yeah, man, if you want to just grab one of those water guns, I'll make you one. I was like, you should be selling these for a bunch of money. This looks amazing. But he's like, nah, not worried about that. So all that is to say, he's a good dude, and I'm real glad I know him still. And hopefully he'll be on the show soon. we talked about, I think the last time he and I hung out, we talked about what we were going to talk about on the show, and just talked about podcasts. And so hopefully I can get him on here soon. You know, it's fun. I've got a bunch of other stuff written down that I was thinking about talking about tonight, but I think I went just a little long talking about Roxy, which, you know, is totally okay, I think. And I hope you guys do too. So yeah, even though I had some stuff that some other stuff I wanted to talk about, I'll mess with that another time. But so this was our 17th episode. And you know, even though it is, most of the time it is just me doing all of these things, so often I say our, meaning more than one person, because I don't feel like this is just my show. I feel like all of you that listen, whether you tweet at me or email me or, you know, any of those things, even when you don't have interaction with me about the show, even though I love it when you do, it's so great and rewarding and wonderful when you do email in or tweet at me or whatever, I feel like this is all of our thing. And just listening to it, I feel like it is. If you're listening to it, this is your thing too. And I really appreciate you guys letting me talk to you about things, because I don't know about you guys, but it is nice to have somewhere to go and talk about things and feel like maybe there are people who care what you have to say about it when things are bad or sad or scary, or you feel lonesome, or you feel like, I don't know, when you feel like things are just depressing. It's nice to feel like you can talk to people about it. And so I hope that this episode wasn't too much of a bummer. I hope that there is some value in it for you, and I hope you can find something to enjoy about it. And if not, like I said, we'll be back to fun next time. Be back to talking about Mortal Kombat Annihilation and stupid movies and good movies and comics and, you know, and wrestling and video games and all kinds of things. We'll be back to all that next time. So, you know, what are the things that I normally say at the end of the show? Follow us on Twitter at KICTM Podcast. Leave a review on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tell people how much you like this podcast that you are partially responsible for. Take some pride in your work, y'all. Just like, be proud of this thing that you have helped make. and go leave a review on iTunes. Tell a friend about it, man. I don't know. Maybe not this episode. This episode might not be the best, like, introduction episode. Maybe let people warm up to this episode. You know, this might not be the best episode to just go in too cold. But people might be like, man, that show was a downer. Do not listen to that show. Or maybe then they'll expect all of the episodes to be like this. And it's like, I don't think I could have the emotional capability to talk about this kind of thing every episode. But I don't know. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. Email the show, keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to everybody that supports the show on Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Get cool stuff in the mail, get early episodes, special surprises, things like that, behind the scenes things, all that kind of stuff. All early episodes, all for as little as $1 a month. And for those of you who contribute substantially more than that, you are just ridiculously cool. And your stuff that's coming next, I will try to make them all extra special and put some things you won't expect in there. And if you're not one of the people that's on the level that gets stuff in the mail, then maybe now's a good time to jump in and try to get on the mail train. What does that even mean? I don't know, guys. I'm in a much better mood now than I was at the start of this thing, so thank you for letting me talk about it. I love you guys, and I thank you for letting me be a part of your lives. And, that seems like a good episode. And I'll just leave you with this.